Afternoon to listeners of Southern FM, and thanks to Chris Brown and Trade Tips. Beautiful work from you, Chris, as usual, and hopefully a topic that you'll be continuing on with in the coming weeks to explain to us who even work here what digital radio is and how it might affect us in the coming weeks or years. But it is very exciting at Southern FM to have a new program starting in this slot after the departure of the lovely Suze Roman, who moved off to Sydney. We have a lovely fellow in now, and his program is going to be called The High Performance Show. He's a former AFL footballer and a life coach of sorts. We're going to find out what the show's going to be about from taking over from this week, as we say good afternoon to Andrew Joblin. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, Mark. Lovely.
It's a beautiful day.
I can't remember anyone ever having described me as lovely, so... So thank you for that.
Well, I had to at least keep you in the same batch as the lovely Suze, who was your predecessor.
Well, I never met Suze.
Lovely lady.
I never met Suze, so I. But if I'm as lovely as her, I'd be very, very pleased with that.
Yeah. Do tell us, what's the High Performance Show? The title tells us a little something, but what's the show going to entail every Saturday from 1 o'clock?
Well, Mark, the... High performance, obviously, sort of when people think high performance, they think, you know, like elite athletes, maybe top level performance. So it's actually not going to be about that. Well, it's really going to be about trying to help people, individuals, no matter where they are, just trying to get a little bit more out of themselves, out of what they're trying to do. So it's really not necessarily, whilst, yeah, I played football for St Kilda, and yes, I've done some stuff. It's really not about... It's for people that want to be elite. It's about people that just want to maybe have a better quality of life and have a bit more success in their day-to-day stuff that they do.
Maximising opportunity rather than going out of one's way.
Beautifully put, Mark. Beautifully put.
Well, as you say, high performance, you think of sportsmen and elite people, but you don't have to be an elite person or elite sports person to gain benefit out of finding new ways to go about things and to organise yourself in life.
I think one of the things that I've learnt and why I'm one of the reasons why I want to do this show, because I love sharing with people, I love sharing experiences, and I guess some of the most inspirational people in my life have not been people that you would ever heard of. For example, my mum is an inspiration to me, and I lost my mum to cancer about 4 years ago, but she fought it for 15 years. You know, she was an incredible inspiration, and there's a lot of people I know out there that just go about doing their day-to-day things, and they, you know, it might just be raising a family.
Yeah.
It might just be being the best you can at your job. It might be about just trying to do things. Maybe you want to write a book. Maybe, I don't know what it is. But everyone has the ability, just even to improve a little bit, to maximise what they're doing and get a bit more joy out of their life.
Well, let's face it, you don't want to go through life and then at the end of it, look back and go, what mark did I make? What did I do?
Absolutely.
So I hear exactly what you're saying, because the people I most admire in life are people like my parents and my wife and things like that. So I see exactly where you come from. That must have been a life-changing experience for you.
It was. It was, in fact, it inspired me. It really has inspired me. My mum's death, I mean, one of the things that I do in my day-to-day, I don't know if you call it work, I don't call it work because I love what I do, is I do a lot of speaking, I run workshops and seminars, I'm an author as well. And one of the things that I want to do is share a message. And to, you know, the lessons that I learnt from my mum, an incredible teacher just by the person that she was, I'm sharing with other people and helping them. So she inspired me to, you know, I've actually just got another book that has just been picked up by a publisher, which is a sort of a story of her life. And, you know, I know that between us, her and I, we're out there spreading a message to make a difference in other people's lives, and that excites me.
Yeah, well, that's a fantastic thing that, you know, well, our parents do drive us and they determine so much about who we become, but... at some stage in your life, it becomes up to you to decide what you're going to make of yourself, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We are in total control of where we end up, and that's part of this show is going to be about helping people to realise that they are in control. They have their destiny in their own hands,
yep.
Which is a bit scary sometimes because we love blaming other things, don't we? We like blaming the economic crisis for the reason why, you know, we can't get work or our business is failing, and we'd love to blame swine flu for the fact that we, you know, can't do things. You know, so if you're the sort of person that likes to, that wants to take control of your life, then we're going to, that's what this is all about, help people take control. And, you know, I'm sure there's everyone out there that's listening that would, I'm sure there's something in their life they'd like to do better, have more of, spend more time with people they care about, maybe do more stuff that they maybe haven't thought possible. Well, my goal is to inspire you to actually, and empower you to actually get up, get out there, don't worry about what other people are saying, and do what's deep in your heart to do.
Turn the telly off. And let's face it, all people, really, whether they know it or not, whether it's subconscious, want to be in control of their own destiny to some degree.
Totally.
It's one of the reasons why I hate flying. I don't like flying because I don't feel in control. And yet, as we know, many more people die from car accidents and so on than from getting on an airplane, although not so much in the last month. But, so I'm a control freak insofar as myself goes.
Well, mate, if you want to learn how to fly yourself, that'll take a fair bit of... It's possible. You have to get very strong arms and learn how to flap for a long time. So it's doable, but, mate, you may just have to weaken on that one a little bit.
Let's have a little look at the Andrew Jobling dossier.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
you did say, of course, that you did play for the Mighty Saints back in the 80s.
Yes.
When probably not a peak period for the Saints, but nonetheless...
That's the understatement of the year.
You had a very, very solid AFL career in the mid-20s or 30s or thereabouts in games played in the senior team and a number of other reserves games, back when the reserves was a very great competition.
I was there for 6 years, and I played, I don't know, I never kept a good count, but it would have been close to, I guess, 150 games all up, and that includes under-19s games, that includes reserves games, and that includes 24 senior games. My last game with the club was actually a grand final, reserves grand final on the MCG, which is a pretty amazing experience.
Yes, yeah, it would have been too.
Yeah.
And at that time, as I said, the reserves teams were terribly strong. I remember in 1985, which you may have even been in that game, I remember Hawthorn having Peter Knights and DPN and Renick and all sorts of characters running around in the reserves in the grand final.
Yeah, well, we played Carlton in 1987 in a reserves grand final, and yeah, they had some
superstars.
They had some pretty big names there. Yep.
Yeah. Talking about high performance, the Saints are certainly performing very, very well at the moment.
Yeah, Mark, and I like to think it was the work I did back in the 80s that have got them to where they are today.
Well, you've got to have a building block, don't you?
I've got to take some credit.
You can't make a pavlova without a base.
Mate, that is so true. There was a little bit of a contrast. Back in the 80s when I was at St Kilda, I played in 24 senior games. We won 3 of them. And while they were memorable, it was like almost kicking a goal was celebrated like a grand final back in the 80s, and the animal enclosure would go, you know, because they spend most of the day abusing the players, but every now and then we'd kick a goal and they all of a sudden, you know, celebrate because we don't know when the next one's coming.
Were you a crowd favourite with the animal cage down there? Because players who they fell in love with.
Yeah, well, my parents were there every week, you know, and got to know most of the other one-eyed supporters. So, yeah, my dad and mum was, was always, you know, I was the I guess the apple of her eye, and so she did a good job influencing everyone to love me like she did. So yeah, no, I think I was reasonably popular down there.
Well, you've mentioned a couple of things there straight away, that an AFL career, well, you don't reach that without having a fair bit of drive in yourself, and your mother's passing is a significant moments in your life, but no doubt you've had others that have guided you on the path to where you are today.
I've got a lot of people, you know, I think one of the things that we just need to be open to is learning. You know, lifelong learning. I think people get to the end of, you know, their education and think, well, that's it.
Yep.
Shut up the books. Don't need to learn anymore. You're agreeing with that, mate?
Oh, absolutely. I fit into that category beautifully.
Yeah, but one of the things I guess I've done is I've been able to tap into some pretty successful people. And there are some people that are going to be guests on the show over the coming weeks. So one of my mentors, a guy called Craig Harper, who I don't know whether Craig is listening, but he's hopefully I'm going to get him in next week. And he's an extraordinarily successful man.
He's known around our local area.
He's very southern. He's got in fact, I was a partner with Craig a few years ago with Harper's Personal Training, which is up on corner of Nepean Highway and Centre Road, and Craig's really gone on and against a lot of odds to carve out an incredibly successful career as a speaker, as an author, as a mentor to other people, you know, and all obviously having a very successful personal training business as well. So, but again, when you hear Craig's story, if you listen next week, he was a fat kid. You know, he had low self-esteem. He really had to overcome some stuff, a lot of negative. You know, he pioneered personal training in Australia, really against all odds, has created an incredibly successful business. And it's like he's no more exceptional than anyone else. This is the whole point, Mark, is that, you know, I'm not more exceptional, you're not more exceptional, Craig's not more exceptional. You look at people like... You could think of anyone, couldn't you? Yeah, exactly.
Donald Trump is one Donald that springs Trump, to mind as a bit of a self-made.
Lance Armstrong, I was going to say, you know, look at the things that... But these people are no more exceptional than anyone else. They're just people that have made a decision to make a mark and to, I guess, move out of their comfort zone and achieve some stuff. That's now, all it is.
By the same token, it's not a fluke. It's rarely a fluke. Sometimes luck plays a part and circumstance, but it's generally not a fluke. And 95% probably have plucked that out of the air, but 95% of successful people are successful for a very good reason.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. Cool.
Okay, well, you did talk, you touched briefly there on Harper's, and you worked in the health and fitness industry as a personal trainer.
Mm, yeah.
What drove you into that? Obviously, being you were, like it or not, an elite sportsman, and did that play a part in leading you into personal training?
Oh, look, absolutely. I think my whole passion in my younger days was sport. You know, I loved it. I played footy, you know, like from the age of 7, 8 years old. I just absolutely loved it. So when I finished school, I thought, well, I've got to do something that's got something to do with sports. I actually did a phys ed degree, which is a teaching degree, but I didn't realise it was a teaching degree. Teaching degree until the third year, because they told me I had to do teaching rounds, and I said, why? And they said, well,
because you're going to be a teacher.
You're going to be a teacher. I thought, oh, really? So I did that, and I ended up teaching, and got out of that.
So you never stop learning.
You never stop learning. So I taught for 4 years, and I thought I'd better get out of that before I strangled a teenager. That was in sec. I taught a lot of maths. You know, on a Friday afternoon to year 10s is not where they want to be.
No, the attention span would be waning, come Friday afternoon.
Give them a good 30 seconds and they're gone. It's all the rest of the lesson is all about just trying to keep them focused.
Now, you do need to tread carefully here, because I've actually found out that you taught some of my friends.
Really?
Mm.
Interesting.
I can't remember names, but we will discuss that later.
Well, they're still alive, so I didn't strangle them, so that's good news. So I moved out of that, and I got into the fitness industry. But yes, playing footy heavily influenced my personal training career. Unfortunately, initially, to the detriment of... Because I trained my clients like I trained myself, and that was with no mercy. So if they could walk out after a personal training session, I felt like I'd let them down. If they vomited, I thought it was their way of saying thank you. So,
but of course, it's different strokes for different folks and different levels for a lot of people, and that was a learning curve for you again.
Massive learning curve, that not everyone wanted to be an elite athlete, but everyone did want to just have an increased level of health, fitness, vitality, a bit more energy, look a bit better, feel a bit better, you know, like simple stuff. So I had to learn that, you know, people didn't want to vomit after a session.
What are the goals for? I mean, obviously it varies from person to person, but what are the goals for people who take on a personal trainer?
Do you know what? It's pretty predictable. Most people just want to be leaner.
They want to be tight.
They want to be. They want to have the six pack. Mm. Well, not even that. They just want to look better. They just want to feel better. They want to have more energy. You know, they just want to. And at the moment, the statistics around disease is pretty horrendous. You know, so people are more and more aware of the growing rate of cancer and heart disease and diabetes and all that sort of stuff. So I think they're really more and more today concerned about preventing disease. So, you know, that's probably the main reasons why people come and see a personal trainer is just because they don't believe, this is the thing, they don't believe they can do it themselves. They believe they need a personal trainer. Now, one of the things that I hope to teach people is that you can do it on your own because it's really not that hard.
Mm.
Creating long-term change isn't really that hard. It's a couple of simple things that you do and you just keep doing them.
So it is a lot about habit.
It's habit. That's all it is. Success and failure is about habit, right? Successful people just get into the... create good habits and just keep doing the right things, whereas unsuccessful people or unhealthy people or whatever, they just get into poor habits, and it's just about changing habits.
And we can digress into eating and eating habits, and I think you know, that's a thing that affects a lot of people's lives, their eating habits and their weight. And we know that Australia is one of the more obese countries in the world, but that's what that comes down to too, I guess, is eating, forming good habits, and good exercise habits and good eating habits and good dietary habits and all those sorts of things.
And here's the thing, this is the thing I challenge people. People generally know what they should be doing. Like, I don't think it's anything mind-blowing information to say that you should eat breakfast every day, right? You should drink more water, eat more fruit and vegetables, eat more fish, eat less processed food. I don't know whether that would surprise anyone.
Mm.
You need to exercise regularly. I don't know if that would surprise anyone, but here's the weird thing is, as much as we know this, as much as all the information and education and resources are out there, there's such a small percentage of people that actually do what they know they should be doing on a consistent basis.
Okay, so, someone like me who blames time management on that.
Yep.
I'm going to blame time, the spare time that I have all the time.
Yep.
Because I fit into the cuddly category. okay, so how do you work your way around somebody like me who's going to say, I just don't have time?
Okay, well, my goal with someone like you, Mark, is to find, you know, if we can change one habit a month for the next 12 months, you're going to change 12 habits, and in 12 months' time, you're going to be in a significantly different place. Let me ask you a question. Do you eat breakfast every day?
Yes.
Okay. Do you, how much exercise do you do?
Very, very little.
Okay, so when you come to stairs with escalators, what do? Do you take the stairs or the escalator?
I take the escalator up and the stairs down.
Okay, so do you reckon you could start taking the stairs up?
To the detriment of my very sore and wobbly knee.
Okay.
But is probably a convenient excuse too.
All I would say to you is, do you snack regularly?
No.
Okay, so I would say to someone like you, Mark, I'd say the first thing I would do is, how long out of bed do you eat breakfast?
20 minutes.
Okay, cool. Then and then do you eat anything between breakfast and lunch?
No.
Okay, so first step is eat a snack. Eat a piece of fruit between breakfast and lunch and work on that for the next 30 days, because what that's going to do is that's actually going to, A, give you a bit more energy, right? It's going to increase your metabolism, so at the end of the day, you're actually going to burn more fat. Once that habit's formed, let's look at some other habits. In terms of exercise, I'd say to you, what I say to people is buy yourself a pedometer, which is a simple tool that measures steps. At the end of the day, you'll know how many steps you've done. Set a goal to do an extra 1,000 steps a day. That'll take about 10 minutes. Do you reckon you could find 10 minutes somewhere in your day?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. So it's not about... Here's the thing, the time management thing. People think they need 2-3 hours at a time to do what they need to... You don't. Remember, everything you do will compound over time. You know, an extra 1,000 steps a day is not that big a deal, but if you did it every day for 12 months... You're talking about, what's that?
A lot.
Well, that's a lot. Is that 36 million, I don't know, a lot of steps. So,
Yeah, it doesn't take much time.
It doesn't take much at all.
Andrew, we might take a little break and come back with much more on the High Performance Show in just a minute. Let's hear from KT Tunstall.
Soprano with a tip about oil and water. They don't mix. So please don't pour cooking oil or fat down the sink. It's just not the place for it. Instead, put your used oil in a container and throw it out with the rubbish. Remember, anything that goes down a drain that isn't water is a pollutant. So think before you pour. The future of water is in our hands.
Yes,
Hi, Adam Gilchrist for RAD. Recording artists, actors and athletes against drink driving. Cricket is a true team sport. When you're part of a team, you support each other, you back each other up and you do whatever it takes to help a teammate in trouble. So when you're with someone who's drinking, call a taxi, take their keys or drive them home yourself, because mates don't let their mates drink drive.
A message for RAD.
You're listening to the best variety of music on the station that sounds great to me, 88.3 Southern FM.
Well, you're back with the High Performance Show with Andrew Jobling. And, Andrew, you're a noted author.
I am, as a matter of fact, and that's...
You know J.K. Rowling, but you go about it in your own style.
I'll tell you what, that in itself is a total contradiction in terms. Here's a guy that played footy. Scrape through English, and then become a personal trainer.
Most footballers don't read books.
No, I haven't read
a book.
Well, you go to the newspaper, and what do? You go straight to the back page,
yep.
and the comics.
Yep.
I used to love The Far Side. Do you ever read The Far Side? Yes, and Tintin? Do you ever read Tintin comics?
I can't say I read Tintin comics. I was never a comic reader.
That was me, mate. I was a comics, pictures, and all of a sudden I thought, I'm going to write a book, because I guess one of my frustrations as a personal trainer was really trying to help people eat better, and there was not a lot of, well, what I thought good information out there that was simple for people. So
Without giving up everything.
Exactly. So I came up with the title of Eat Chocolate, Drink Alcohol and Be Lean and Healthy, which certainly is a winning title. Most people get 2 out of 4, the first two. But I mean, the whole goal of the book is to make it simple for people, and that's done extraordinarily well. And, you know, another best-selling book. And I've just, as I said earlier, very excited, Mark, because I've just been up in Sydney meeting with a publisher. So my next book, which is called Dance Until It Rains, is actually now in the process of being published, which is pretty exciting.
Which is a bit different to Judge Judy's book, which was Don't Pee on My Leg and Tell Me It's Raining.
Definitely.
So tell us a little bit about the new book.
Well, the new book is, I guess, is largely what you and I have been discussing already. And it really just, Dance Until It Rains is really a story of, I guess, persistence. I think what most people don't ever get results they want because they don't finish what they start. They give up too soon.
Mm.
Right?
Well, the title of your book, it sounds like you could have put in brackets behind the title, or make hay till the sun shines.
You could do that. Exactly right. Exactly right. It really is. You know, the thing is, people join a gym, 100 people join a gym, 5 of them will keep going, will still be there in 12 months. How many people give up on work, on jobs, on relationships, on all sorts of things? So, you know, the book is really about persisting, hanging in there, getting working, as we were talking about with you, you know, simple steps compounding over time, but just keep going. And you can't help but succeed if you create good habits and you just keep going. I mean, really, that's what the book's all about. So, and it's also very very personal, for because obviously there's reference to my mum and her story and the battles that she had. But she was an enormous example to me of persistence and determination against the odds. I guess, like when you look at some other, you know, the Lance Armstrong story is a similar one. Obviously, he went on to do some pretty amazing things, but overcoming testicular cancer, winning 7 Tour de France's. How's he going with his 8th?
Last I heard, as of Thursday night, he was 8 seconds back from the leader and 2 seconds behind the favourite Contador. So still well in it, obviously, and with the hill stages to come, you would never discount that man, because he is a freak.
Which is incredible. And again, it's not ability that makes Lance Armstrong so good. It's not ability. It's just a determination to win. And you can have that in any situation with whatever you're doing. And, you know, I try and live the philosophy of I will always dance until it rains. So whatever I decide I'm going to do, I'm going to see it through till it's successfully done. And I think if people can take that away, then I think that's a good thing.
Now, you might have a competition.
Well, listen, one of the things I want to do each week is, well, I'm going to give you top 5 tips on a certain topic, and then we're going to run a little competition related to that. So for the very first week, we're going to do my top tips, which is how to get more out of your day. 5 top tips to get more out of your day.
Little things.
Just simple things. And the first one is eat breakfast within 30 minutes of getting out of bed. Now, Mark, you do that. So
I get out of bed, I jump in the shower, I get out of the shower, I have breakfast.
That is...
And my breakfast is a fairly healthy one.
That's good. And but the problem is there are far too many people that don't.
Mm.
Don't do it.
Mm.
They don't eat when they get out of bed. They wait 2 hours and think 11 o'clock is breakfast. That's not breakfast. Mm. And by that stage, we're tired, we're lethargic, we're craving, and we tend to eat the wrong sort of food. So first tip is eat. Number 2 is an interesting one. Think about 10 things that you're really grateful for.
Mm. Now, and that might take some thinking.
Okay, because I'll tell you what most people do in their days, they worry about all the stuff they haven't done, they should have done, that's bad, that they don't want, and they end up in a bad mood, cranky, and end up not getting what they want in life. Once I decided to get up, and every day I write down the 10 things I'm really grateful for, like my wife, Laura, I'm grateful for where I live, I'm grateful for my health, I'm grateful for my family, I'm grateful for so many things, it changes your whole mood.
Mm.
Like, I dare anyone listening to actually try that and see how you go.
That's a fantastic idea, because I'm a I suffer from negativity. I am a I'm a pessimist by nature, and so I tend to worry about the things that are bad, and I tend to talk about the things that are bad rather than the things that are good, which is the greater make part of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't it interesting? You might have
and I've never thought of thinking of those things.
You've got 100 things in your life that's fantastic and one thing that's bad, and we will focus on the one thing that's bad.
Instead of saying, geez, I'm very lucky.
You are very lucky. Number three is to look at the positive side of every situation, no matter how bad it may seem. Now, again, and this relates to what, Mark, you just said, that's a tough thing to do. It really is, but I'm going to give you an example of this. About 3 weeks ago, and this is my own silly fault, because I left my laptop computer sitting on the passenger seat in my car.
Oh, at least you got a new one out of it.
Well, and that's what I said. So I came back to my car. It's parked outside the Hilton in East Melbourne, so in a pretty main street. Someone with a lot of balls, guts, whatever you want to call it, has smashed in the passenger side window, stolen my laptop, and I've got back to my car, glass shattered everywhere, and laptop gone. And I'm thinking, okay, so I can get angry with this, or... And the first thing I thought was, oh, I'm so glad. That was such a crappy computer. Anyway, it was insured for more than I paid for it, and I ended up with, I now have a much nicer computer. So where most people, that would have ruined their day, for me, I looked at it and I thought, no, this is actually quite a good thing. And I actually, telling people, and they go, oh, you poor thing. I'm saying, no, what do you mean, poor thing? It was great.
And cleaned out a lot of stuff that you didn't no longer needed, and
exactly.
You're working faster and smarter.
Exactly right, and I got a new window, and someone got a computer, someone in need. You know, everyone's happy. Everyone's a winner.
Someone went and bought one from the pawn shop for about... $200.
Exactly right. So everyone's a winner. So that's number three. Number four is to compliment, encourage, or thank at least three people a day.
Another not strong suit for me.
Okay. So when someone does something for you, say thank you.
Oh, I always do that.
Okay. If you've got someone in your life that you really love, and I'm sure your wife, ring her up and say, I appreciate you. Thank you. You know, that's a simple thing to do, and you won't believe the impact it'll have not only on the other person but on yourself. The other thing is just to encourage and compliment people. So if someone gives you good service, tell them.
Because people hear too much negative stuff
as it
is.
We love encouragement. You know, if someone seems to be doing it tough, someone say, look, keep going, you're doing a great job. That will not only make you feel amazingly better, but the person, if you receive that sort of encouragement, it lifts you to another level.
And it's not in your personal life, that can be in your work life as well, giving out compliments at work. And why I actually bring that up is that, having worked at one company for 25 years, I think that I would average less than 0.3 of a compliment per year given to me.
Exactly.
And you can make a difference to another person's day, and as you say, you feel better, you pump yourself as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you are a boss listening to this, that one thing will increase your business out of control. You know, imagine, keep in mind that the people that work for you are your most valuable asset, and without them, if they don't feel valued, if they don't feel like they're an important part of your business, you're not going to get the best out of them, because they're going to be, I'll tell you what, they're going to be bitching and complaining about you and giving you all you deserve, and that's the bare minimum, right? So give them a pat on the back, tell them they're doing a great job, catch them doing the right thing, not the wrong thing, and you will find that they will have an incredible impact on your business, but also on your life. And that leads me on to tip number five for getting more out of your day, and that's do one thing every day that scares you.
How do people step over that precipice? And again, this is a funny thing. My daughter, one of my daughters, also a Laura, is doing a school assignment on that Jim Carrey film, The Truman Show.
Oh, yeah.
And if anybody's seen it, of course you remember that he has a terrible fear of water that's been drilled into him. And so he can't even walk across a bridge for fear of this water. And eventually he overcomes that fear and off he charges. Now, it's diametrically opposed to human nature to actually try to overcome your fears, isn't it?
It is. And it's not about not having the fear, but acting in the face of fear, which, you know, people think that you're courageous if you're not scared of something. You know, like, one of the things I do is I'm a speaker, you know, so I get up in front of a lot of people, and that used to scare the absolute bollocks
out
of me.
As it does a lot of people.
Yeah. But it doesn't so much anymore, and people say, oh, you're so courageous. Well, no, I'm not now. I used to be, but I'm not. Courage is not acting without fear. It's it's acting when the fear's there. So, like, there might be someone that you have to, like, maybe talk to or about something that's been said, and it might be a like a bit of a rift in a relationship that you need to make that phone call, but you're scared to do it. It might be taking that first step to join a gym, or it might be that first step to trying to get a working a bit harder to get a promotion. What is one thing every day that you can do that scares you a little bit? Like, what are some examples, mate? What are some things that you've done that have scared you?
I'm a non-confrontationalist person, so I don't like confrontation with people. So I tend to shy away from that. I tend to shy away from talking to people if I've done something to let them down.
Okay, so for you, overcoming a fear would be if you've let them just actually saying something and apologise or whatever.
Mm.
But and it could be something like, just do something that scares you, like go bungee jumping, or maybe that's an extreme one, but or just go for a bike ride, or I don't know what it is for you, but get in the habit of doing something, even something small that scares you every day, because what it's doing, everything that you want in your life is outside your comfort zone, right? We live in our comfort zone, and everything you want is outside of it. So therefore, everything you're trying to achieve in your life obviously scares you, or else you'd have it, okay? Every little step you can take outside your comfort zone is obviously going to scare you, but it's going to increase your comfort zone, because once you can do something, you know, if you're a salesperson, picking up a phone and making a cold call is really, really scary. Mm. If you sell encyclopedias door to door, I'll pray for you. But that's scary. You know, we're scared of rejection. We're telling someone, it might be a new relationship, and trying to get it to that next level, and fear, you know, ringing up a girl or ringing up a guy and asking them out. There's a fear of rejection. My strongest recommendation is do something that scares you every day. So what we're going to do around this is, I've got a copy of my book, Eat Chocolate, Drink Alcohol, and Be Lean and Healthy, to give away. And we're going to have giveaways every week. But what I want you to do is send an SMS or an email and telling us about one thing you have done that has scared you in recently. Okay, and Mark and I are going to look at the entries we get, and we're going to choose one of them, and that person is going to win a free copy of my book. So we're going to send the email to studio@southernfm.com.au. That's studio@southernfm.com.au. Or send an SMS to 0404 000 736. That's 0404 000 736. Send to Mark and Andrew one thing that you have done that has scared you, but you're glad you did it. And we might play another song and come back and keep chatting.
What have you queued up, Andrew?
We've got Newton Faulkner, Dream Catch Me, which is listen to the words of this one, because it's actually a very inspirational song.
Have you considered becoming a business sponsor of 88.3 Southern FM? With 56% of Australians tuning into community radio every month, Southern FM can give your business valuable exposure to the high-spending population in the southern suburbs of Melbourne. A variety of sponsorship packages are available, and in tough economic times, Southern FM offers you a way to get more from your limited marketing budget. To discuss how your business can benefit, call Nigel Carter on 0407 887 013 or email nigel.carter@southernfm.com.au. Southern FM and local business, supporting each other.
Gymnastics is a sport for people of all ages and abilities. Gymnastics promotes a healthy lifestyle, increasing fitness and energy levels. In conjunction with the Heart Foundation of Australia, Gymnastics Victoria recommends healthy eating for peak performance. To find out more about your local club, telephone Gymnastics Victoria on 9214 6020 or browse through the website at www.vic.gymnastics.org.au.
Everybody. Australia Ignites with Helmut Lotties 2009 National Tour. Don't miss the smooth vocal talent of this international sensation and his Philharmonia Orchestra in this not-to-be-missed event. Helmut Lottie plays the Palais Theatre St Kilda, Friday 2nd of October. Tickets through Ticketmaster on 136 100 or book online at ticketmaster.com.au. Sponsoring Southern FM.
Dad?
Yes, mate?
I spy with my little eye something beginning with M.
Milk bar?
No.
Magpie?
No.
Oh, gee. Martians?
No.
Can we see it?
Yeah, I can see two of them now.
Right. Mack trucks?
No.
Is it inside the car or outside?
Outside.
Outside.
They're all around you, but they're hard to see.
I give up. What is it?
Motorbikes.
Put yourself in their shoes.
You're listening to the sounds of the Bayside, 88.3 Southern FM.
Well, we're back here on the High Performance Show. The first one. I'm excited. I'm actually very glad that Mark's here with me because I've got no idea. I've got lights and flashing things and all sorts of stuff and computers and, mate, I've got no idea what's going on here.
We just hold hands for a few weeks and things apparently we both have sexy voices.
And that was thank you very much, my beautiful wife Laura, who sent an SMS. I don't know, should I be jealous that you think Mark's got a sexy... Well, he has.
She hasn't seen me in the flesh, and that'll ruin the illusion.
You're like me, we've got great heads for radio.
I've got a better one.
So, it's currently 1:45 on Saturday. Geez, and time flies.
It does, it goes very, very quickly when you're in the studio, and it'll go very, very quickly this afternoon. They finally got a lovely day out at Murrumbina for the match of the day, Murrumbina. First on the ladder. They're first or third, playing South Yarra, who are third or first.
Now, you played for Murrumbina,
oh,
Mark?
Oh, yes, back in the dark ages, 24 years ago.
So you could probably safely say that your involvement back 25 years ago has platformed the platform that's catapulted them to success
in 2009.
Got
them all the way up to second division.
Mate, you're a champion. And... just to reinforce the competition that we have, it's a bit of a slow go trying to get through if you're sending an SMS on the number I gave you. So you can try, I'll give you another number, 0414, which is my mobile number, 973315. And what we're wanting is people to send through something that they've done that's actually really scared them, but they're glad they did it. And I've got a couple of responses, but we'll save them till the end, Mark, because we're going to decide and someone's going to win a free copy of my book. A lovely young lady named Helen McDonald, who's listening, has sent an SMS saying, as an add-on to your idea for being grateful, I choose to write down 5 things before I go to bed. It makes sleeping better. So there you go. There's another
grand
thing you
idea.
Could do. Go to bed feeling grateful.
That's a grand idea, although I tend to hit the pillow and lights out.
Yeah, after the first word, mate, snoring.
Yeah, that's it.
It's all over, Red Rover.
Which is, but that might be actually a fantastic way of actually helping you sleep better, as Helen has said. But also, that's different to counting sheep.
It is.
You think of 5 different things. That's
and if you love sheep and you count them, well, then that sort of combines both.
Well, if you're a Kiwi.
Well, let's not go there, Mark. We can't, it's at the first show, we don't want to resort to that sort of stuff. we can talk about chili buns and jandals and that sort of stuff.
But, Andrew, you've also got some other upcoming events. And, of course, that email to studio@southernfm.com.au, or the SMS to the studio, 0404 000 736.
Yeah, we're actually wanting to see if anyone is actually listening, or are we just here playing with ourselves and entertaining ourselves?
Well, as I said, I have discovered that the SMS can take actually a little while to actually get into the studio, so it's not quite as instantaneous as it should be at the moment.
So we might have it by next Saturday, if we're lucky.
if we hang around for another hour, it could be here.
I think it's just cyberspace is busy at the moment, mate. There's a traffic jam in cyberspace right now, so just be patient.
And we have had a bit of a music request as well, and we'll be able to come up with the goods on that one.
We have, and another a good friend of mine, Mr. Ian Curry, who's listening. And yes, we've ticked the box on your song request, which will come up.
What's Ian's nickname? Dodgy?
Dodgy Curry. No, I think just Hot Curry, yeah. I think he likes to call himself.
And Andrew, you've also got some other events and things coming up in the next few weeks.
I have. And what
do tell us about
them. Well, of course, I'd be happy to. One of the things that I do is, as hopefully you've realised by now, is trying to help people create better things in their lives, create positive change. So I run workshops quite regularly, and you can always check on my website and you'll see all the upcoming stuff, and that's www.andrewjobling. It's a bit of a mouthful.
Not that hard to remember.
It's not hard to remember. It's hard to spell. Mark.
Let that one go through to the Adam Gilchrist.
Yeah. I'll be getting an SMS from Laura very shortly, I'm sure of it. Now, I've totally forgot. Andrew Jobling, and it's J-O-B-L-I-N-G. And there's a lot of people spell it with two Bs. It's just the one B, .com.au. And all this stuff is on there. But I've got a couple of workshops coming up.
You will also see, too, that Andrew actually does have a fine head for not radio as well.
Oh, thank you very much, Mark. Very much. A couple of workshops coming up. I've got a book. Anyone that wants to write a book, because I've had enormous, the satisfaction I have experienced from writing a book, I would love other people to experience, and it's actually not that hard.
No, my father's actually written some books, and I think his current one that he's working on, he's terrified that because he's 80. My father is 83, and he's terrified that he's actually going to peel off the planet before he finishes it. And he's going to have to leave it to me to finish.
The pressure's on.
Because I'm the other author of the family. So,
really?
Not a writer per se, but
good one, mate.
I pretend to be a wordsmith at times.
Good on you. And it's the power of the written word is incredible, because it has a lasting impact on people. I truly believe that, because you write a book, you're dead, mate. You're dead and gone, and your book's still there.
Yep.
Those words. My mum got a letter from her. When she was 6 years old, she'd moved to Australia from Hungary. She got a letter from her grandmother on her sixth birthday, and I've actually got my dad found an original copy of that letter, and so it was written back in 1941. And it's just incredible, like that word. Like I read that letter, and it makes me cry. It's words will live on forever. So,
well, the words of my father's first book could live on forever too. It's the book is titled "Sediment at the Bottom of Lakes in Tasmania."
Well, there you go.
That's a ripper.
Actually, my dad. I think Dad's listening to Annette and my dad. Hello, Dad. I'm sure you'd be interested in that book, wouldn't you? Send me an SMS if you would like Mark to send you a free copy.
A copy of Sediment at the Bottom of Lakes in Tasmania. It's a corker.
So it's a two-part workshop, how to write a book, in September. Go to the website for more information. I'm doing a workshop with a young life and well-being coach. Her name's Danette, and we're calling it Life is a Pizza, so make every slice count.
My ears just pricked up.
I thought they would. See, I like to associate food with a lot of stuff, and it's really about creating a well-rounded level of well-being, looking at different areas of your life. So that's happening on the 30th of August. And also there's another, I'm doing a seminar. Now this one's for the ladies, so if you're a guy, sorry, you miss out here. But this is for the girls. It's called Being Well in Style, and I'm running this one with a style coach. So that one is happening on the 15th of August. So all of these events can be found on my website, which is www.andrewjobling.com.au.
right. Leave no stone unturned. Leave your fears behind. And try to take the path less traveled by. That first step you take is the longest ride. If today was your last day, tomorrow was too late. Could you say goodbye yesterday? Would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in the past. Donate every dime you had. If today was your last day, against the grain should be your way of life. What's worth the prize is always worth the fight. Every second counts, cause there's no second try. So live like you're never living twice. Don't take the free ride in your own life. If today was your last day, and tomorrow was too late, could you say goodbye yesterday? Would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in the past. Donate every dime you had. And would you call on friends you never see? Reminisce on memories. Would you forgive your enemies? Won't you find that one who dreams in us? Well, I'm down to God above. That's you finally fall in love. If today was your last day, if today was your last day, would you make your mark by mending a broken heart? You know it's never too late. For the stars, regardless of who you are. So do whatever it takes, cause you can't rewind a moment in this life. Let nothing stand in your way, cause there ends a time. I'm never on your side. If today tomorrow was too late, could you say goodbye to yesterday? Or would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in the past. Donate every dime you had. And would you call on friends you never see? Reminisce on memories. Would you forgive your enemies? Would you find that one you dreamed in us? Well, I'm down to God above. That's you finally fall in love. If today was your last day.
Tune into Purple Haze and hear sounds that are guaranteed to blow your mind. Sounds like this.
Left for me in this land of misery.
Join your host, Nick Black, on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month from 8 till 10 p.m. on 88.3 Southern FM. Purple Haze.
Purple Haze! Yeah!
For the most diverse range of programs, you're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.
And it is currently 157 and 11 big, bold, beautiful degrees, and I'm coming at you live from 88.3 Southern FM. I've always wanted to do that. That's my special radio voice.
That was your DJ thing.
That was my DJ thing. I've been practicing that for the last 44 years up to this point.
You know Gavin Wood.
Thank you. Well, that song...
That was actually a good thing.
Well, oh, okay, cool. Well, thank you. The song that you just heard was Nickelback, If Today Was Your Last Day, and that was for... Hot, Mr. Ian Hot Curry, who was kind enough to send in a song request. So, Mark, we're coming towards the end. That's gone ridiculously quickly.
That does go quickly, and what a superb first program of the High Performance Show.
Thank you very much. I'm actually really looking forward to what's coming up over the next few weeks.
Do tell. You said you might have some special guests coming up in the next few weeks. Do tell.
Well, I've got, as I mentioned, Mr. Craig Harper, who... should be in the studio with us next week. Mark, you'll be back again next week because I'm still on my L plates.
Yep. We're
holding hands at the moment.
You look like young enough to be on your L plates too, but we will stick around for a few weeks.
And make there's sure a compliment. It's smooth sailing. There's one of your compliments for the day. So thank you very much.
I can tick that down. I've got four to go.
So Craig, hopefully next week. Then over the next few weeks, I'm gonna get a guy. His name's Yair Kellner. Now, this is a man who actually got lost in Alaska and survived for 5 days.
On Mars bars?
No, actually on cheese slices. And that's an incredible story, and he'll be in to tell us about that. And also a young race car driver, Stephen White, who's had a lot of success in a race car, in racing cars, and he'll be on the show as well. So we've got lots of these people coming up. So...
what sort of success has he had in a race?
Well, he's done a lot of stuff. Now, I'll get him to tell you more, but he's certainly in the V8 supercars. He's had a lot of success. I'm not sure whether he got to Formula 1, but he got to the... I don't know what... There's levels, isn't there?
Yeah, there Formula. Is. Formula 500 and
I
stuff
think
like
he,
that,
he's
yeah.
got to those levels just yeah. near Formula 1, and he's certainly aspiring again to get himself back up to that level.
And you have a lot of the F1 drivers actually flip-flop between the two levels, in fact.
Yes. Mm. Yes, that's right. So that's coming up. So it's all going to be very exciting. So now we had one... I've really had one person respond for the competition. We've had nothing else...